This elderly brother that was had some failing health and very weak decided he would seek wealth. So he bought himself a lottery ticket. And because of his age and because of his condition, he gave it to his wife to keep so he wouldn't lose it. Not knowing what the results of that were going to be, a few days later, she found out that he won the lottery. And it was an astronomical amount of money. And she was afraid that of what would happen when she gave him the news. She didn't want to shock him into death. So she was thinking it over and decided that she would call the preacher over and let him break the news to the elderly gentleman. And maybe it would ease the shock. So the preacher came over and he got with the brother. He said, "Hey, brother, I hear that you bought a lottery ticket." "Yeah, I did." He said, "What are you going to do with the proceeds if you win?" He thought for a minute and he says, "Well, preacher, I thought I'd give half to the church." The preacher had a heart attack and died. I say that to loosen you up a little bit about the subject we have this morning, because what are we seeking? And, Jesus in Luke 19:10, we knew what he was seeking. He says, "For the Son of Man hath come to seek and save that which was lost." And that word seek is a linear verb. It's a continuous action. And we know that as time goes on, Jesus Christ is still seeking the lost so that he can save them. But what are we seeking? Sometimes we take care of the needs of the body and neglect the needs of the soul, and the Bible speaks against that. Every day, things tell us what our body needs. If we get hungry, our body tells us it's time to eat. If our mouths get dry and we're thirsty, it's telling our body that we're getting dehydrated. We need to have a drink of water or something to get out of that dehydration. If we don't keep up our monthly bills, we're going to let them get in arrears, and our needs will go lacking. But on the other hand, how are we reminded to take care of the needs of the soul? Deprivation signals do not remind us when we neglect to read our Bibles to feed our souls. As a matter of fact, in our daily activities as we go around through this life, if we got Satan on one shoulder and one of his angels on the other shoulder doing and saying things that would take away from the things of spirituality, that would distract you from sitting down and going through the scriptures and studying what the good Lord would want us to know and how to feed our souls to keep it healthy, so that one day when we weakly body passes on from this stage of life, that healthy soul can go on in to be in that heavenly home that he has prepared for us. So, what our subject is this morning is, what are we seeking? We're seeking the kingdom, or should. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He says, we should not be anxious for food, raiment, or roof over our heads. In Matthew 6:25-32, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whitherall shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. There he's given a good description of how God takes care of those things that a lot of times we worry about. I know Beverly and I, and here he's speaking to, you know, thinking about the fowls of the air. They don't reap, neither do they sow, and they don't gather in the barns. But yet God takes care of them. And Beverly and I, a lot of times, we got a little bird feeder that I put out in the front yard because we have these crows that come by. They sort of got acquainted with us, and they like our nature, and they sort of hang around. So we put this feeder up, and we watch these birds come. The crows get in the big feeder, and the cardinals and the sparrows and the smaller birds, they get into the small feeder. And we watch the squirrels try to take over the bird food, and it gets sort of comical after a little bit. And every now and then, Beverly will get word about something, and I say, well, remember, you know, the scripture said God will take care of those things. And he'll take care of us, so let's just not be concerned about that. But listen to how Jesus ended that little story that was told. He ends it with a command and a promise. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. That's the command. It's not a suggestion. Seek first the kingdom of God, and here comes the promise after that command. And all these things will be added unto you. So there has never been a time God has turned his back on those who have chosen to follow him. If we stay faithful, and we put first things first, and those trivial things last, God will take care of his people. We here at Oceanside have been blessed immensely. We have been blessed in the pandemic area where the flu, that virus has spread rapidly amongst the congregation here. I think what we've had, about 13 cases here. And we all overcame it, and we're in pretty good health. So he has blessed Oceanside in many ways. At times when we thought that things weren't going very well financially for the congregation, God has blessed us with a gift from someone or at some time. In Mark 10:29-30, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, therefore is no man that hath left house or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Oh yeah, he said if we follow him and we put him first, he's going to bless us. And along with those blessings, we're going to be persecuted. But not only are we going to be persecuted, we overcome that persecution. But in the end, we get the greatest reward. We get eternal life. Are we exchanging our souls for something? Foolishly neglecting the things that are eternal and spiritual, we can exchange our souls for things that are temporary and worldly. Jesus asked the most profound questions in Matthew 16:26, and Brother Polk mentioned this in his lesson this morning. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or, better said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I remember growing up, I've always been religious and always attended some church, whether it was right or wrong. And I never, ever really considered what a soul was. And when you go back in, when God created man, he said he took the dust of the earth and he formed man. He breathed into his nostrils. And man became a living soul. And even back reading that, you don't really get an understanding what the soul really is. But the soul is really a living being. When you get discouraged, when you were studying with somebody and they telling you no, if you could listen to that person's soul saying, don't leave, stay here and continue teaching. The soul would be crying out, even though the human mind is saying no, because that soul is a living being and it's going to spend eternity somewhere. Jesus tells a parable of a rich man in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He said, this will I do. I will pour down my barns and I'll build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this day your soul will be required of thee. Treasure, let me tell you something. Nothing in this world can match what John said in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, talking about treasures laid up in heaven. John says this, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you into myself, that where I am, you will be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. You know, Thomas was and normally doubtful, well, Lord, how will we know the way? And Jesus at that time proclaimed, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. David had a good saying in Psalms chapter 37, Psalm 37, verses 25 and 26. David says, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. In another way of putting it, David, he's an old man now. He said, I've seen it all. I've seen everything. But never have I seen a righteous man forsaken. Neither have I seen his seed forsaken to where he's having to beg for bread. And his seed is blessed. A righteous man, a person trying to do right, will truly be blessed in all phases of their life. Priority two is provisions for this life. In this life, we have to make provisions for self and family. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 5:8, if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There's a lot of people walking around in this world today that has not provided for their family the way they should have, and taking care of their children the way they should have. And whether they are in Christ or still in the world, it's still worse than an infidel. You've denied the faith. And I would hate to think as a Christian that I would put myself in a place to where I would deny the faith and be worse than an infidel. If we are to be pleasing to God, we must provide for our own. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, if a man will not work, let him not eat. Sounds like a pretty good theory, don't it? If you don't work, don't eat. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 11 and 12, he says, study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. Obviously, there was a little bit going on there in the church in Thessalonica, where people were taking advantage of Christians, going into houses and having fellowship and doing a little bit of jojacking, is what we would call it, but it would be gossiping about people in the church. And Paul said, we have commanded you to mind your own business. Work with your own hands to supply the needs of your own self, and quit going about trying to mind somebody else's business. That's the number one thing out of the six things that God hates. The last thing to name is he hates a gossiper. And Paul says, we have commanded you to stop being a busybody and get busy using your own hands to supply your own needs. We cannot afford to let the urgent things we do take away from the important things. Jesus said in John 6:27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Sometimes we look at things and try to prioritize them, and we can't distinguish what we should do first, the important things or the urgent things. And sometimes the urgent things get in the way of doing the important things. And that's what we have to do. We have to determine what is important. Is it more urgent or is it more important? But letting the important things go for the urgent things sometimes, it causes us to be on the wrong side of God. How rich are the rewards? We were created by God to seek Him and to worship Him. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. In Psalm 14 and verse 2. God considers people who seek Him wise. And He stated that in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these words of mine and doeth them, him I will consider to be a wise man that built his house upon a rock. It's very wise to consider the things that's in the scriptures and apply them to our lives. And if we just, as James says, you know, don't be doers of, be doers of the word, not hearers only. And the more we stay active in the Christians and spiritual side of life, the less that we'll be involved in the world of things in this life. Luke records in Acts chapter 17, verses 26 and 27. And hath God made one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the faces of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the sounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him, though He be not far from every one of us. God's always near. He's ever present in our lives. He's ever present if we're not in His life. He's always around us. If we walk in the light as Christ was in the light, then we will always be not completely sinless, but we'll be walking in the light that will save us and cleanse our souls from sin. But God is a rewarder. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That's a theory that we should all try. Let's just see how faithful God is to rewarding us. Let's completely, as the word seek is a linear verb, that we're continually seeking the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. As I stated in the beginning in Luke 19:10, Jesus came to seek that which was lost. He's continuously doing that, and we should be continuously seeking all the righteousness that we can absorb as Christians in the family of God. As a matter of fact, in John 8:32, John says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I know it's a short lesson this morning, but it's a pretty good lesson. It just reminds us that we cannot slack up on our Christian responsibilities and duties. We're to continually seek our loving Father and His dear beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we're to look for ways to help one another in need or indeed, either way. We're to reach out to one another and help one another. And then we're to help those that are not of the household of faith. In Galatians 6:10, there Paul says, as we therefore have the opportunity, we're to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. So let's be conscious of that. Don't know what your condition of your soul is this morning. If you need to obey the gospel, you need to hear it and believe it. Repent of your sins and confess the name of Jesus before men and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sin and stay faithful until the end of life. And if you're here this morning and you've already done all those things to put you in Christ, if you have any need, whether it be spiritual or of a physical nature, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing.